Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Sofitove Institute Radio Show. This is David Wolf, your host here in the Sofitove Studios in Electra, Florida, with Marie Glashine at the controls. This is David Wolf, your host of the Sofitove Radio Show, running half an hour from 1 to 1:30 Eastern Time today, Wednesday, February 23rd, 2011. So, Marie, I've been thinking about pleasure. So I know you're thinking, Marie, yes, David, for the 12 years I've known you, pretty much thinking about your own pleasure is all that you do. So I know you're thinking, Marie, so what's new, David, that you're thinking about your own pleasure? That's what you do. So I'm thinking about pleasure, and that we're pleasure-seeking creatures, not just you and me, but all living entities are pleasure-seeking creatures. So we're all pleasure-seeking creatures. And that a question we can ask ourselves from a platform, and our listeners who are familiar with the Sofitove consciousness and environment, that we embrace the stance of being, we're not imposing the stance, we embrace the stance of ourselves as 100% the source of our experience of life. And so let's say if I'm experiencing an extended depression or a rage or resentment or hurt or pain or different emotional states that I tend to consider not particularly pleasant, that, okay, me as the source of my experience, so how? How is this my attempt to get pleasure? Because we're pleasure-seeking creatures. How is this an attempt to get pleasure? What sort of pleasure am I getting from it? Now, we might not be real successful at it, but we can look at that. We can look at it. If I'm holding on to some deep bitterness or hostility or shame or guilt, what sort of payoff or pleasure am I seeking to get from that? And if we reject that outright, then, well, I get no pleasure from that. How can you suggest that? Then we might be closing ourselves off to possibility of some self-realization and self-awareness about my inner workings. So what sort of pleasure am I seeking to get here from this experience, from this state of being? And in that way, we get to move that which has perhaps been less than conscious to the conscious surface. We talked a few shows ago. We spoke about the Vedic Personality Inventory, a personality assessment tool that I developed. And I described that my conception of the Vedic Personality Inventory was as an empirical basis for happiness. We can consider how is the experience I'm creating, the results I'm creating, how is that an endeavor for pleasure, to satisfy, to fulfill my natural pleasure-seeking potency and propensity. And then we can look at, okay, perhaps there's a better way, perhaps there's a more effective way to fulfill that propensity. Okay, and again, I understand this might sound strange or unusual, but that even the most horrific states of being, even the most horrific acts, or the most desperate and hopeless states of being, that there's some attempt of the living entity to get pleasure there. And by looking at, yeah, how what sort of shadow pleasure am I getting? And perhaps I can transform those efforts to more consciously seek pleasure in a way that's going to be clean and clear and fulfilling and actually lasting. So the Vedic personality inventory, an empirical basis for happiness or satisfaction or pleasure or fulfillment. And what empirical means is that we can see statistically that there are certain ways of being, certain principles of being, certain acts, certain habits, certain ways of thinking, certain belief systems that tend to correlate with less life satisfaction, and certain ways of being and actions that tend to correlate with higher life satisfaction as a propensity for human beings. So I'm thinking about pleasure. We'd love to hear from our callers. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749. If you call and you want to be on the show, get some coaching on the spot, press 1. Also, we invite you to write into our chat, write into Blog Talk Chat, and let us know. Give us a call. Get on the spot, life-changing, transformative coaching here in the Sofitov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host, with Marie Glashine in the Sofitov Studios. Also, check out the Sofitov website with an abundance of articles and videos and radio show links and audio clips where you get to imbibe and absorb and more deeply realize yourself and the principles of transformative communication. This is the Sofitov Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. The website, www.sofitov.com. I'll spell that for you. S as in Stephen, A, T, Thomas, V, Victor, A, T, Thomas, O, V, Victor, E. S-A-P-V-A-T-O-V-E, sofitov.com. Now in the library section, in the other video section, there's the video of 10 minutes of excerpts from my workshop at the Palm Springs Master of Influence event on November 5th, 2010. I invite you to view that. Plenty of Sofitov videos on YouTube now. Plenty of Sofitov videos on the Sofitov channel at YouTube. We invite you to call in today and get some on-the-spot coaching. We're eager to hear from you. The subject is pleasure and what's effective and not effective in seeking pleasure. What is illusory? What are illusory attempts? And we talk about the Vedic personality inventory, sattva-tov. Sattva means enlightenment or goodness, and so sattva-tov. That sometimes if we're not conditioned to it, if we're not accustomed to it, then pleasures at a higher level, at first when we endeavor for them, they can feel quite uncomfortable. Sometimes it's described as they can feel like poison at the beginning and nectar at the end. Or sometimes a short-term pleasure, which is pleasurable maybe only in an external sense, in a sensory sense. They can appear pleasurable at the beginning, experience that way, and then after a while, maybe a few minutes or a few years, they can feel like they can be experienced as poison at the end.
Well, David, well, to me and to many people, like, happiness comes from relationships. You know, like if I found people or one nice person, one that special person around me that will love me and with whom I can share my life, or, you know, if I have nice friends or a more connecting family, then that will bring happiness to my life. Well, I'm not sure what you're speaking about.
Thank you, Marie. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you that our nature is to be in relationship. We're pleasure seeking. We're pleasure seeking creatures, and we're social creatures. We're social creatures. So, although some people who might see me in social events might see, well, you're not a social creature. But intrinsically, we're social creatures. Relationships. Yes, we naturally seek pleasure through relationship. And we experience satisfaction or frustration, or a whole range of human emotions there. And then we can look at, okay, so in relationship, how are we managing our relationship to create that pleasure or fulfillment? Now I say pleasure. I'm speaking about pleasure. We can think of sensory pleasure. We can speak of a deeper fulfillment of the soul. And so, we're naturally born to relate, even if we talk about relation with people, relation with our life partner. We talk about relation with our children. We can talk about relation with abundance, or relation with money, relation with sexuality, relationship with my house, relationship with my car. So we're naturally in relationship. And how are we responding to that relationship? How are we managing that relationship, whatever relationship, in order to get that pleasure? Is our relationship pleasure centered? Is it based on what we have? Is it based on what we do? To what extent is it based on who we are? This, Marie, of course, relates to that be-do-have approach to living. So for me, it relates to meaning, okay? So in relationship, okay, am I seeking pleasure in relationship through what we have together, through what we do together? To what extent is our endeavors for fulfillment or pleasure, is it based on intrinsic meaning and purpose around which our relationship is centered?
Nice. I like that. When I was a teenager, I was reading some poetry. And it was a French poet. His name is Paul Éluard. He's a Renaissance poet. And Paul Éluard writes, s'aimer, ce n'est pas se regarder l'un l'autre, se regarder tous les deux dans la même direction. Sorry for my French. And the translation is like to love is not to look at each other. It's not to look at each other, but to look together in the same direction. And it seems that it connects with what you're just speaking about like, okay, to what extent my relationship with others is about my self-fulfillment, about them, you know, pleasing me or doing something that pleases me, or me doing something that pleases them, and me, you know, giving to them, or to what extent my relationship is about, you know, helping each other to move in one direction in self-realization, personal development. Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you, Marie. I like that, that we're looking together in the same direction. It's not looking at myself, not looking at each other, looking together in the same direction. And that points to that, what we've called the eternal dharma, or the intrinsic dharma of the self, to be in service. And so whether we're considering our own growth or our growth as a relationship, as a partnership, that with another person, another human being, that to serve together, then there's natural intimacy there. We naturally get to know each other in that service consciousness. Not that concern, rather vague service to what? And that's where life purpose comes in. That's where a life of meaning comes in. But yes. A life of, okay, when I speak of pleasure, maybe some people naturally think, oh, a life of comfort and a life of sensory gratification. And yes, of course, that has its place and that's important. A life of comfort and a life of gratification. Yes, okay, so comforts, gratification, that's kind of that having part of a fulfilling life. And then there's, let's say, a life of fulfilling engagement. The doing part, the fulfilling engagement, that our psychophysical nature is engaged in a way that it likes to be. and that we're doing things we like to do, that if our nature is to be working with our intellect, then we're working with our intellect. If our nature is to be working with our body, we're working with our body. If our nature is to be growing food, then we're growing food, and our psychophysical nature is engaged in a fulfilling way. And then all of this, that the life of comfort and the life of psychophysical engagement, all within the context of a meaningful life, a purpose that derives from our core being. And we expand that, related to your comments, Marie, to relationships. To what extent is our relationship centered around doing? To what extent is it centered around sensory gratification and comfort? And that all has its place. And without a meaningful purpose that we serve together, it's going to be empty. It's going to be empty.
It's like the being of the relationship, the existence of the relationship, what's the purpose of the existence of the relationship. And if there is no purpose to the existence of the relationship, or if the purpose of the existence of the relationship is connected with having or doing, it will always feel like something is missing. That's not fulfilling, or that could be more to it. And then people will look into each other and found that they are not going to find the completion of what they are looking for into the other person. And I can see how it will lead to be separation, to some separation there.
The being of the relationship. I appreciate that phrase. Yes, and so our nature, as we've conversed many times on the Safetov radio show, our nature is to serve, our nature is to be in relationship, our nature is to seek pleasure. And sometimes if we talk about whatever self-realization or personal growth, I just want to have fun. Our nature is to have fun, our nature is to seek pleasure. Ananda, ananda mayo vyasa. Our nature is to seek pleasure, naturally. And so, in relationship, to what extent is it centered around that natural propensity to grow and to expand? Ananda mayo byasat. Nature is to expand. You mentioned self-realization, personal growth. And if that's not there, then certainly it's going to feel stagnant after some time. Again, it might be pleasurable at first, but not increasing nectar in relationship, not ever increasing nectar in relationship, because that's there. That ever increasing nectar is there when our relations are centered around growth. And of course, when we talk of growth, that gets into, well, who am I? Who is this person that grows, that self develops, self realization? What is the self? So these are wonderful questions around which to center meaningful relationship, a life of meaning, a relationship of meaning. And so we invite our listeners to consider, what's really the purpose of my relationship? Again, choose any relationship. What's really the purpose here? To what extent is it to give each other pleasure? To give each other pleasure. It's like, oh, yeah, my kids will grow up and then they'll make me proud. Or, Dad, could I have $20? Nothing wrong with it. We're just looking. What's the nature? What's the center of our relationship? To what extent is it centered around a life of meaning? A life of meaning. You're listening to the Safetov Radio Show. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749.
Yes, it seems like, for me, each time I look into someone else to give me what I want, like to give me happiness, to give me what I need, like expecting that they are the one who are going to give it to me, it seems that each time I just, fall to a place of developing more disappointment or pain or frustration or, you know, feeling weak or feeling powerless.
Thank you, Mary. That relates to our theme from last week, emotional attachment to expectations. Expectations can be premeditated resentments. Again, we made that distinction. Not that we don't want to expect. Naturally, we want to stand for excellence in ourselves and others and have standards. And that what I'm hearing from you, Marie, is that when you find that you're emotionally attached, that someone will give me this. My happiness is dependent on this person doing this, not doing that. My fulfillment, my security is dependent on this person doing this, not doing that. Then you're really setting yourself up for misery. And you're giving your all your life power to this other person. If you just do that, then I'll be happy. If you don't, then I'll be sad. Oh, no.
Yeah. But it really relates how, if there's common ground of a purpose together, then it's not about me anymore, and it's not about that person giving me what I need. And then it seems that it's even, you know, not enriching for my life, and it's empowering for my life, and it's going to be fulfilling no matter what.
Thank you, Maria. You're listening to the Sofato Radio Show. I was going to say the Sofato Radio Hour. We're half hour now, 1 to 1:30 Eastern Time. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the studios with Marie Glashin. Thank you for your comment, Marie. Yes, that if our goal is to grow and learn and discover in relationship, then there's really no failure. There's really no possibility of failure. As opposed to that, we might be committed to some external result in any area of life. It could be financial result, health result, relationship result. We might be committed to a particular result. Committed is different than attached. In fact, oftentimes, if I'm emotionally attached, then that prevents me from giving my full commitment. If I'm not attached, so I might be committed to a goal. But then if I'm not attached, then I'm open to give my full energies and to learn from the experience. And so in relationship, we're giving 100%, fully dedicated to serving together, serving some higher purpose, some worthy goal, some worthy mission. And then that in itself, that commitment to that service, that naturally brings so much learning and joy and fulfillment in relationship. Because it's relationship centered around a sublime, profound purpose. Something that's aligned with who we are as eternal entities and not just temporary bodies or temporary minds.
I see that we have listeners who are listening on the phone. To come on the show, if you're listening on the phone, you can press 1 and then you get queued into the show. Also, if you are listening on the internet and you wish to also come on the show, you can Skype message me at marie.glashin, and I also will bridge you into the show. You're listening to Sadvatov Radio Half Hour and radio and your station for self-realization. And with us is our host. Is Dr. David Wolf.
Yes. Good thing I'm not at the controls there. And Marie's taking care of that. We have about 5 minutes left in our Sofato Radio Show today. We invite you to join us, participate, share your reflections, your comments, your challenges, maybe any thoughts or inspirations you'd like to share with our listening audience.
Well, you spoke about attachment, and you know, I understand the attachment to the expectation, you know, like that, and we spoke about that in our last show. What about if I'm attached to someone, like you know, I'm attached to that person. I'm attached to that person. That's a common thing that we are attached. You know, I'm attached to my husband, or I'm attached to my dog, I'm attached to my wife, I'm attached to my children. What's wrong with that?
I didn't say anything's wrong with it. We ask, okay, how well is this working for you? How well is this working for you? And yeah, attachment is natural. Attachment is natural. And attachment to dear people in our life as sources of affection, giving and receiving love, that's natural. And so what are we doing with that attachment? What are we doing with that attachment? How well, I guess a question for me, and this might reveal some of my bias, how well are we using these personal attachments to support each other in our personal growth and our self-realization and a truly, deeply, profoundly fulfilled life? And to the extent that we're doing that on a genuine platform of the self, of the spiritual self, to the extent that we're doing that, then those attachments become more and more wonderful and auspicious. And, yeah, and if someone is attached in some way that doesn't meet my understanding of self-realization or spiritual life, I have no criticism about it. But if they're talking to me, and I'm going to ask, I mean, for me, I'm naturally curious. How well is it working for you? I want to hear your experience. How well is that working for you? And I'm sure in that conversation, in sharing our different views, values, and perspectives, I'll discover something. It's like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing wrong, but you say that your misery, you're miserable, you're suicidal, you're losing your temper 10 times a day, and that your misery, you're hurt and enraged and bitter 99% of the time. So it sounds like it's not working so well. So maybe let's look at those attachments and see how you can transform that energy into something that will be healthier for you and your spouse and your children and the people you work with, et cetera, et cetera.
So you're saying that when I'm attached to people in my life, then that attachment is a source of my misery. I was thinking when I'm attached to people in my life, that's just natural, and that's how I love them. So what's the difference between being attached to someone and loving someone? What's the difference, David? You know, how can I love someone if I'm not attached?
I see. Love is that I'm really committed to your personal growth. And that's different than if you don't speak the way I want and if you don't do what I want, I'm going to hate you forever. And on that threat of my bitterness and my hate, and I'm going to feel so hurt, on the basis of that emotional manipulation, maybe I'll get you to do what I want, and I call that love. Well, no, I don't call that love. Love is a clean dedication and commitment to someone's expansive discovery and realization and growth as a person. And what that looks like, it might look like sometimes I act in ways that might risk disapproval, that might risk rejection, but because I love you, I'm standing in that. And maybe even the results of me really standing for someone's personal growth, it might end up it might go in a direction that isn't pleasurable for me, but because I love you, I'm ready to serve you in that way. Even if it might go in a direction that isn't at least externally pleasurable for me. So yeah, there's a distinction between true clean love and compassion, and the distinction between that and emotional manipulation in the name of I love you so much that if you don't do what I want, I'll feel so hurt, bitter, angry, etc. This might be pretty challenging for some listeners to hear. And there's maybe all sorts of reactions coming, but fortunately we're at the end of the show, so I'm not going to be able to receive all of your challenges. Join us next week. Join us next week on the Sofer Tov Radio Hour, radio show. This is David Wolf, your host, on the Safa Tov Radio Show, your station for self-realization. Thank you for being here.